Test 1, 2. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing good today. Well, today we continue on in John chapter 5, starting in verse 30. And I start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And thank you for this time we get to spend in your word. Thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. And hi, Kevin, Nancy. Not sure who else is out there, but I hope that you're all having an awesome day today. Well, we left off at verse 29 yesterday. And so we're continuing verse 30. And just a couple of notes that where we're at. Jesus is in Jerusalem for the feast. We think it's most likely Passover, but it doesn't say. And that he healed a man down at the those pools of Bethesda. And so now that healed man had gone up to see, had been seen breaking a rule on the Sabbath, which was the carrying his bed. And so the Pharisees caught him and asked him who it was. Well, Jesus caught up with him in the temple, the person who he healed, and he found out that it was Jesus. And so that's about where we left off. So Jesus is still in the temple area, and he's going to explain exactly, some would say that he never really said that he was God, but if to say that means you never read the book of John, because it's all through the book of John. But here he's going to have quite a lengthy conversation with the Pharisees about who he is and the fact that he is God. So starting in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I be a witness of myself, my witness is not true. Basically, what he's saying here is that, and I think that's true of anything, that whenever you claim to be something, that it's always better if somebody else says it about you rather than you saying it about yourself. So that's what what he's saying here, is that it's not that he isn't who he says he is. It's just that it's better if it comes from somebody else. And that's kind of what we're going to go through today. But just as a couple of ground rules, typically in the Bible and in life, anytime a witness is asked, it's always best to have two or three witnesses. That's actually very biblical. In Deuteronomy 7:6, we read, "At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of only one witness he shall not be put to death." This is also claimed over in Numbers 35, 29, and 30. "So these sayings shall be for a statue of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of a witness, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die." So that's an important ground rule that typically you would want at least two or three witnesses. I try to do that in a lot of my Bible studies here, that that I kind of try to find two or three witnesses to support any particular theory of the Bible. Stand by 1 second, folks. I gotta try to refresh my verses here. I've been having this problem for a couple of days now that for some reason my verses, they work for a couple of minutes and then they stop working. And I'm not sure why. Okay, on to John 32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. And a couple of the places I want to make reference about John the Baptist is that he's our first witness to Jesus being who he says he is. And over in John 1:23, we see that he said, this is John now, the Baptist, talking to the Pharisees who had come up to see him. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias. And what he's referencing here is Isaiah 43, which reads, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So this is one person. We have a couple other references to John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And this is probably some of my favorite here in Matthew. We see in 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So back to John 5:36. This is going to be another reference to Jesus' proof that he says he is. Over in John 5:36, and this would be John talking now, but I have greater witness than that of John. This is John the Apostle talking about John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Also over in John 19:30, this is Jesus on the cross. And here he says, it's going back to the fact that in 5:36, when he comments about that he came to do the work of the Father. And over in John 19:30, we'll see later, we're going to see where Jesus says that it is finished. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Interesting thing, too. I've heard a sermon this week that was really provocative about it is finished. And what is really meant by it is finished? And it's got a double meaning, which I... what's finished is the fact that that sin is no longer a death sentence. In other words, that Jesus has conquered death, and that we no longer are destined to death because of our sin. And back to John 5:37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Well, these are some favorite passages also over in Matthew again. And Matthew 1:9. And this is when Jesus was being baptized. And it came to pass those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. That John is John the Baptist. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and a spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's not Matthew, that's Mark, I'm sorry. Mark 1, 9 through 11. Also in Luke, we also see it. Luke 3, 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Back to John. So that's the Father witnessing in front of a lot of witnesses. Who knows how many people around the sea, the Jordan River, that heard God actually speak about Jesus. What a testimony. Now in John 5:38, and here we're still doing witnesses of the Father. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. In other words, the person being sent would be Jesus. And that it's actually foretold all the way through the scriptures about Jesus coming. 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's so true. It's like over 300 passages, prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that talk about Jesus' first coming. Over in Mark 9:2, this is another place that I really, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. Another place that the Father actually comes and talks to three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, of which John is the book we're in. So he was an actual eyewitness to this. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He actually turned into what he's going to appear to us when we see him the first time, is what a lot of us believe, almost glowing. It'll be his resurrection body, which we will have also, most of us believe. And continuing in Mark 9:3, and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. A fuller is like a person who dyes, like cleans clothes, and that person couldn't make it this kind of white. It's a white so white that there's no way that they could, anyone on earth could make it. 9:4, and there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Jesus was having a staff meeting with Elias and Moses. I found two interesting things about this verse, the fact that Mark, which is actually, Mark was a, did the actual writing. He was like a secretary for Peter. So when you read in Mark, you're actually listening to Peter's words. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And, Elias was actually the one from that wrote Isaiah. Was in Isaiah. And Moses, of course, we all know from the first five books of the Bible. But the thing here is that they kind of brought Jesus down to the level of Elias and Moses, because Jesus is a much higher person in the order of things, because he is God. Continuing in Mark 9:6, for he was not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud, it overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Important verse right there. It's the second time that God actually spoke from heaven, the Father, and confirmed that Jesus was his Son. And one last place over in Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. These are the actual witnesses of the scriptures, is this section. Over in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Very favorite verse of mine. That basically, I use this verse to say that whenever you want to prove if something's correct, just search the scriptures, and you will find your answer. Some more witnesses of scripture. Oh, no, I tacked these in here because I've talking about a witness based on scripture. So I found it fascinating to see that it was actually some civilians, some Gentiles that didn't have, they weren't Jewish at all. They were actually centurions, people who of the Roman hierarchy. Centurions were pretty high up. They were like they were usually in charge of a couple hundred people of the Roman army. And here we have them saying in Matthew 27:54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watched Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." And then over in Mark, very similar, another testimony of Jesus' deity. "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." So those are witnesses of Jesus. Okay, back to John 5:40. "And you will not come to me that ye might have life." Now back to Jesus talking. "I have received not honor from men, but I know ye that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive." And the thing that I thought about this verse is that talking about the future Antichrist, and as the Jews are still waiting for their Messiah to this day, and we all know that that studies prophecy that time is coming close. We have a couple of verses to mention talking about those who are going to be blinded and those who are not. And over in 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 3, we have, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except their coming or falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's talking about the Antichrist who's going to, and this person is going to be received by the Jews at first. In verse 4, "Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." A couple of the places where it talks about this person, the Antichrist. Over in Daniel 7 and 8. Says, "I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked out by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." This is speaking of a new world leader that's going to be coming. This was prophesied by Daniel back, like 800 years before Christ. And of course, you go up to Revelations 19:20, when this is the Antichrist is going to be in full power over the whole world, over the whole earth. And this is what the Bible says about him. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone." This is an important verse. If anyone happens to be watching this video after all the Christians disappear, and of course they'll come up with some kind of weird excuse for us disappearing. But keep in mind not to take that mark and be very, very careful that you don't worship the beast. Because during that time frame, you're probably going to be beheaded for it. There's a lot of other verses. I'm just pointing this out now only so that this video is found later on when I'm gone, that maybe you can find more information about it. But be very, very careful of this person that's in charge of the whole world. He's not who he says he is. So back to John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? This is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And in the chapter 5, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So this pretty much this whole chapter is Jesus talking to the Pharisees of the temple in Jerusalem. And that as you see going forward, it's going to get worse and worse, this persecution that Jesus is going to be put under. And so that's all I had for today, kind of a long one to finish off chapter 5. And I will end it here, and we'll look into chapter 6 starting tomorrow. And I don't have anything new in the way of pictures, so we'll just end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time and your word, and thank you so much for all that you do for me and for all of us. That you, I just get so much enjoyment and and fulfillment reading your word and looking, getting to know you better. And I hope that as time goes on, that I really understand who you are and what you have for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, folks. And you have a great day. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.